the Ramban and the Sfarno on the opening pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim both have the same comment, that the Torah continues to give details regarding the Aseres HaDibros, and the whole Parshas Mishpatim is to give you the details of the din of Loisachmoid. Loisachmoid means you're not permitted. Loisachmoid in Voschanana here, Loisachmoid means you're not permitted to develop a desire for something that belongs to somebody else. How do you know it belongs to the other person? How do you know what belongs to you? So you have to determine. Somebody has to determine. I'll say everything is mine. So you have to determine what belongs to the other fellow, what belongs to you. So you have to have a whole system of Eilam Mishpatim, Ashitas Mulefneim, in order to establish what's his and what's yours, and what's in the Yisrael Lois Achmat. The Chazon Ish has in his Kuntres Emuna Bitochon, which was printed after he passed away. He never finished it. He started writing this Kuntres, never finished it, so he never printed it. So after he passed away, so the family decided an incomplete essay is better than no essay at all. So they decided to print it. So in the middle of the essay, it's very beautiful style, he, in the middle of the essay, he has a whole attack against the Musa movement. That they make up Musadik concepts, Shalai Alpi Gemara. So he gives a whole mashal that there was a malamed. There was a malamed in the community, and he taught the Talmidim, and everybody was happy, and the Talmidim were happy, and the parents were happy, and everybody was happy. And then a young, and he was there for 50 years, and everybody's still satisfied. And then a young fellow comes, and he opens up a cheder in the same community, and he's young and energetic, and the parents start sending the students to the young fellow, and the old guy loses his old parnasa, and there was nothing wrong with the old guy. He was giving good classes, and the parents were happy with him, but they're happier with the young, energetic fellow. So the old fellow, the old Rebbe, who's in his 70s, starts complaining to everybody that the young guy was Masig Vul, and he ruined his parnasa, and all the Bali Musa say, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to do that. So he says, what do you mean you're not allowed to do that? Reb Shlomo Kluger Paskin on this Shaila, he has a tshuva, that based on the Gemara of Basra, that there's no Iser HaSagas Gvul on Liman HaTorah. The Gemara says that Kina Seifim Tar B'Chochma. There's a din of Hasog HaSgul on pizza shops and on other things, but not on Limud HaTorah. So he says, if the din would have said that the old fellow is entitled to put the young guy out of business because the young guy is stealing his parnassah, so then the old guy would have the right to say all nasty things about the young fellow because he's being mafsid him his parnassah. But since the halacha determines that the young guy has the schus, he has the right to go into competition with the old guy. So if the halacha says that he has the schus, anyone who tines against the young guy is a right of. You have to first establish al pidin who has the schus maminus, and once you know al pidin who has the schus maminus, then whoever is going to be maps in him is considered the gazlan. You don't just make up based on hashkafas of musadik ideas what's right and what's wrong. The first Mishnah in Baba Kama has the famous statement Abo Avos Nezikin. In Tanakh, they refer to the Talmid HaChachamim at a certain point in history as Sofrim. So the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Babli in Kiddushin says Lama Nikri Shmon Sofrim. Why were they given such a name? That they counted all the letters in the Sefer Torah. The Taisus on that Gemara in Kiddushin, in the end of the first pair, quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi a different explanation why this terminology, Sofrim, Shosu Kalatar Kula Sfuras Sfuras, that there was a period of time in Jewish history in the development of the Halacha when the Talmid HaChachamim collected all of the dinim and they tied them all together, like here, Abravis Nezikin. You take all the dinim and then the Brisa has another version, Yud Gimel Avis Nezikin, and then the other Brisa has a version, Chav Talar Avis Nezikin. They took all the dinim and they tied them up together. Alamites avos malachis, or yud gim dinim and emruv the nivla soif tohor, or all the mishnayis with the Torah shebal peh, the chachamim in a certain period of history, they collected all the dinim and they tied them up together. So that's what the opening mishnah Bava Kama collects all the dinim arba avos nezikin. So it says ashor v'habor v'hamave v'hahever, and the word mave is machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, whether it refers to Adam or refers to Shem. So the Gemara explains, according to one opinion, how can it refer to Adam, and according to the other opinion, how can it refer to Shane? What kind of a terminology is it? A very strange term. So the Meiri, quoted by the Shita Mukobetzes there on the opening Mishnah, poses a question. Rav Shmuel, but both students of Rav Yudah Nasi, who was the editor of the Mishnah, he said when he taught the Mishnah, he didn't teach him what the word Mava means. Did he say like Rav? Did he say like Shmuel? How can he have a machlokes Rav Shmuel? What the Pirush HaMilas in the Mishnah is? Rav Yudah Nasi must have explained when he was teaching them the Mishnah is what the word Mava means. So he has an interesting historical suggestion. The Meiri suggests that maybe there was an old tradition, Arbavas Nezikin, to tie together all of the Nezikin and Parshas Mishpatim. And there were two old traditions where the account Keren Shen Veregel is one, and you don't count Shen separately, and the Arbavas Nezikin include Adam. Or no, Adam is not included in the Arbavas Nezikin, and you're counting Keren separately, and Shen Beregel separately. So maybe Rabbi Yudah Nasi chose the word Maveh, which can satisfy the both traditions. It can satisfy the old. There were always, before the days of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, there were two traditions of Rabbi Avos Nezik. There was a tradition Yud Gimel Avos Nezik and a tradition of Chof Dalet Avos Nezik. The Gemara explains they don't disagree with each other, just that the next Tana is including more in the count, and the Tana who has 24 is even including Dirim Derabbanan, and is even including more into the count of the Avos Nezik. But the initial older tradition that there are Abba Nezikin, so the Miri suggests maybe there were two old traditions, one including Adam and one not including Adam. So maybe that's exactly why Rabbi Yudah Nasi picked on this very vague word Mave, which is a lishna that mishtama latrein amtin, and could refer to Adam, could refer to Shein. So what's the machlekes Rabbi Shmuel? They were arguing which of the two older traditions that Rabbi Yudah Nasi had presented to Rabbi Yudah Nasi, told this to the students, two old traditions, that's why he's picking the word Mave, and Rabbi Shmuel were arguing which of the older two traditions makes more sense to them. So Rav said, I think that this one makes sense, Mave Zeh Adam, and Shmuel thinks that Mave Zeh Hashem makes more sense, but it must be that there were two older traditions. It can't be they had all of a sudden machlekes what the word Mave means. You have a lot of times like that. The Gemara has the Megillah, machlekes Satanaim, what he learned from Parsha Shkolim. What did they do last year? What do you mean, what do you do for Parsha Shkolim? So it must have been two old traditions. And they're arguing which tradition makes more sense. By Tefillin, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, that's a big problem. How can you have a machlek? What they wear? What kind of Tefillin did they wear last year? No one remembers what kind of Tefillin they wore. That's what the Rishonim ask on Tkiyah Shofar. How can it be that they forgot that it's a machlekes Satanaim, where the Trua, you have to blow Tkiyah, Trua, Tkiyah three times. And it's a machlekes Satanaim, where the Trua means what we call Trua, Trua means what we call Shvarma, Trua means what we call Shvarim Trua. And the Gemara says, Rabbah Bo made a Takana in the city Kisrin, that we should satisfy all the three opinions of the Tanaim. So that's what the Rishonim ask. How can it be there was machlekes? Nobody alive remembers what they did last year. So that's what Taka the Rav Haigoyen, all the Rishonim quote the Rav Haigoyen, that the answer is that all three forms are acceptable. So what do they have to make a takana that you should do all to satisfy all the three opinions? If there's not a machlekes, if everybody agrees with everybody else, so Rav Haigoyen says, yeah, the Talmid HaChamim knew that all the three forms are acceptable, either trua or shvarim trua. But the Balabatim thought that we are the only shul in the whole world that's Yosid Kiyah Shofar, because the others are doing it wrong. So in order that the Balabatim shouldn't think poorly of each other, or think very highly of themselves, we're the only shul where they're really Yosid Kiyah Shofar. So Rav Bo made a takana that he should blow all the logical possibilities in all the communities. That's what Rav Haigoyen says like that. Tosfos clearly does not agree with this. Tosfos holds that the machlokes is a machlokes, and each shita doesn't hold from the other shita. So it's takapela. How can it be? They didn't remember from last year what they did for Tkiyah Shofar. It is a problem. And the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam is a problem. Anyway, over here, the Mishnah has the Arba Avos Nezikin. The Gemara says, Kulam Ka'avos. The Pasuk says that you pay Meitav. Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karma, Yishalem. So the original Pasuk is only by Shen Veregel. And the Gemara has a tremendous Gzera Shava that covers all the 24 Avos Nezikin. And the Gemara says, they're all Avos, Kulam Kavos, L'Shalemi Meitav. You pay for Meitav in all of them. Balei Chayvis, the Gemara speaks, the Mishnah speaks that in general we divide all the real estate into three categories, Ezidis, Beinonis, and Ziburis. So Nezikin, the Nizik, and all the 24 of us Nezikin is entitled to collect the Meitav. Gemara has a lot of klolim and pratim regarding the collection of Meitav. So he's allowed to collect meitav. And Ksuba Sisha only collects ziburis if the husband divorces his wife, and she can collect either from midas beninus or ziburis. So then is the husband has a right to stick her with ziburis. Doesn't have to give her anything better. And Bal Chayv is dina b'beninus. So Bal Chayv dina b'beninus, that's a big machloikas. Three opinions in the Gemara. In the Bavli, there are two opinions, and the Yerushalmi has the third opinion. The Bavli has the two opinions whether Menatora Bal Chayv is also dina b'idis. The Pasuk of Meitav, the Gzereshava, the 24 Tachas Nesini Shalom Kesav, a whole tremendous Gzereshava that sprawls out. We're used to Gzereshava. It says over here a word, and it says over here a word. Betin Luchos Luchos Ha'Evin. And the other Pasuk says, Pasuk HaTova Shenosan Loch. So there it says, Nosan, there it says, Etin Luchos Shain. So Gzereshava, so you see that there's Brichas HaTorah Menatorah. That was a nice, easy Gzereshava that we had yesterday. The Gemara there in Baba Kama has a whole Gzereshava that covers 24 places, that all 24 are included in paying meitav. So one opinion in the Gemara is that the Gzereshav is bigger than we thought. It covers also Bali Chayvus. It covers 25. It covers every chiyuv. Mikra Adin is really the meitav, and the reason why Bal Chayv only collects beninus is they knocked it down with the Rabbanon to beninus. The Gemara gives a whole psychological explanation what motivated the Chachamim to knock it down from Edis to Beninus. Then the generally accepted opinion is the other view in the Bavli, that a Bal Chayv Menatar is Dina B'Ziburis. And it's only with the Rabbanon that they jacked it up to Beninus. But Mi'ikar Adin D'Araisa, the Gzereshav only covers the 24 of us in Zikin and does not include a Bal Chayv. Bal Chayv Menatar is Dina B'Ziburis. Then Yerushalmi has a third opinion that the Bal Chayv Menatar is Dina B'Beninus. That's a fantastic chiddush. The Bavli doesn't even contemplate such an opinion that it should be menatara dina bebeninus. But all the three opinions exist. So the Menchas Chinuch has a very interesting comment. He says that according to the way we accept l'halacha, the maskonas of Bavli, that a balchad menatara is dina beziburis, and it's only with Rabbanon that they jacked it up to beninus. So what's the rule that all the choftal that ovis and zikin are meitav? And the Bal Chayv is Menatara Ziburis. So he says there's a fundamental distinction between Milva HaKsuva Batara as opposed to Milva Shein HaKsuva Batara. The Gemara talks about two different types of Chiyuv Mamon. The Chiyuv Mamon that one accepts upon himself, the Loiva borrows money from the Malva, and it's self understood that he's obligating himself to pay back. So that's called the Hischaibis Midas. That's what we call a Milva Shein HaKsuva Batara. Why is it Ein HaKsuva Batara? It says, Isha Shatano Shebo. It says in the Chumash also that a loiva has to pay back the alvor. So Tosis in Ksuvas quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, and Lil B'Shein Ksuvah Batar does mean that it doesn't say it in the Chumash. It means it doesn't have to say it in the Chumash. Even if it weren't written, we would have known on our own that the loiva has to pay back the money, or somebody buys an automobile, or someone buys the merchandise in the store, he goes shopping. So of course he has to pay the Demei Amekach. If he's buying, so it's his Chayvis Midas. So that's what the Gemara distinguishes between a milva haksuva batar chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposes upon a person, as opposed to a chiyuv mamon that the person accepts upon himself. So that's what the Menchas Chinuch understands, that min haTorah bal chov dina b'ziburis means whenever it's a hischayvis midas, there's no din of meitav. Whenever the Torah imposes the chiyuv, then it's a din of meitav. So it's interesting, the Braisa lists off among the 13 avos nezikin, also included, it's not included in the Dalar Avos Nezikin, but it's included in the Yud Gimel, it's included in the Chav Dalar Avos Nezikin. Shamachinim Hashol Nais Yisocha V'Hasecha, the Dalar Shomrim. So people usually assume that a Shomer is Chayiv in Pshia, a Shomer Socha is Chayiv in Gnei V'Aved, a Shoel is Chayiv in Onsen, we usually assume that that's a His Chayivis Midas, that I accepted upon myself the responsibility to watch. And it's His Chayivis Midas. So the way the Minchas Chinuch explains, it's just not so. I accept upon myself an obligation to watch, but the chiyuv to pay in the event that a pshia I'll be posheya, that's not assumed to be a hischaibis midas, because the braisa says that you pay meitav. And the Menchas Chinuch claims whenever it's a hischaibis midas, it's menatara dina b'ziburis, and they only elevated the Bal Chayv to beninus because of this special reason, kedesh latin al delas bifnei lov, and they never elevated the other ones to anything higher than ziburis. So he assumes that the his chayvus of the shomer to pay, each shomer is muhiv to pay pshia, gnei v'aveda, onsen, whatever, kol echad v'yechad, kefi madregosa. This is all chiyuv ha-Torah. Torah imposes chiyuvim on the people. The Gemara in the first sugya in Sanhedrin has a machlokes amaroim. What do you say? Irav parshias kosul kan ein kan irav parshias. The Gemara says that in Parshas Mishpatim it says three times the word Elohim loshen chol. Elohim is loshen kodesh when it refers to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes it refers to Avodah Zarah, so then it's for sure it's loshen chol. But here in Parshas Mishpatim, the word Elohim appears loshen chol as referring to a dayan who has smicha. So it appears three times. So one Tana says you add it up. Elohim, Elohim, Elohim means that you need three dayanim smuchim to constitute a bezin. The other Tana says no, even though it says three times, ein darshim tchilos. The first time it says it, whenever you darshan the fact that a word is repeated in the Chumash, that's a bona fide drasha. That's not stama balaturim aremes. The Gemara considers that a real bona fide drasha. You add up every time the word appears in the Chumash. So one Tana says, the first time it says Elohim, you don't count it because ein darshim tchilos. The next two times teaches you that you need two smuchim, and the need for the third member of the bezin is based on the rule that ein bezin shokel. And the other Tana says, no, what do you have to pull in based on Shokol? It says three times Elohim, and Darshim Tchilos. Okay. So the Gemara has on the first daf, in Sanhedrin, daf based on the base, and daf Gimel Amanal, the Gemara has the first sugya. The three times that it says Elohim, that requires a business of three smuchim, Minat Torah, is that only by Gzelos v'chavolos? That's the context where the Torah has it. By Gzelos v'chavolos. What about by Hodos v'halvoos? So that's a machlokes, and the Rambam paskens that min haTorah by hodos alvos mideraisa achad nami kosher, and it's only midirabbanan that you need three. Al tihidon yichidi shenidon yichidi ala echad is only midirabbanan by hodos alvos. How do you define the difference between zeilus achavolus on the one hand and hodos alvos on the other hand? So I remember when we were learning Sanhedrin, Rav Salvechik thought that that's what it means. That zeilus achavolus means a chiv that the Torah imposes upon you, milva tzuva baTorah, and hodos alvos means a milvashenik silvabatur means a hischaivus midas. And just to give us a dugma that such a the halacha recognizes such a distinction, we make a difference. Halacha lamaisa, there are many differences. The Menachas Chinuch said that's the difference between whether dinam and atar b'meitav or dinam and atar b'ziburis. Whenever the Torah imposes the chiyuv, then all the chav talarovs nazikin kulun kovus l'shalami meitav. And a balchayv where it's a hischaivus midas, the mikir adin deraisa he pays ziburis. That's what the Menachas Chinuch understood. Rav Soloveitchik wanted to mention something easier than that, I guess. So he mentioned an exotic opinion that's quoted by the Meiri and Bava Kama and Dafayinam and Beis that's really not accepted lahalocha, that kom lebe derab mine only cancels if you have a chiyuv mamon simultaneously with a chiyuv misa. So the Torah says you only give the onish misa and you don't pay the mamon. So this only applies if the chiv mammon is a chiv that the Torah imposes. But if it's a hischaivus midas, like a halvoah, a fellow smoking a cigar on Shabbos as he borrows money from somebody else. So he's chayv misa simultaneously with the chiv mammon. So would you say, kom lebe derab mine, that he doesn't have to pay the halvoah? So the Meiri quotes the Chachmei Provence who interpret the Gemara and Bava Kama saying that you do have to pay. Esnan osa Torah filo bo alimo, that esnan zayin is a hischaivus midas, the boel accepts upon himself to pay for the services rendered to the zona. So since it's a hischaivus midas, so kom lebe derab mine, afilu bo alim, or kom lebe derab mine doesn't cancel the chiyuv. That's how the Meiri quotes the Chachmei Provence. Rashi and Tosafot do not interpret like that. Rashi and Tosafot say, whenever you have a kom lebe derab mine, which is also in Parshas Mishpatim, whenever you have a situation of kom lebe derab mine, so that means that Bezin doesn't force the fellow to pay the mammon, but the balatz of sedesha maimi should have to pay. So even though let's say someone's baal azayna and he volunteers on his own to give an esnan, it doesn't have a din of esnan zayna. Only if he was mechuyev to give it, has to be a zeh tachazeh. Has to be that this is the esnan that he was obligated to give because of the ma'aseh nus that he participated in. That's only if you're mechuyev to. So even though kam levi derab mina he patas but bezin shalmata, but since in bezin shalmaila there's no din of kam levi derab mina balat says the shemaim should pay. So if he pays the esnan zayna to the mother, which the bezin will not force him to pay, so it'll be nitfas as a tashlum and it'll be considered esnan zayna. You don't say that that since bedini adam bezin shalmata is not koyfer to pay, so it doesn't have the din of esnan zayna. That's how Rashi and Tosis learn. And the Meiri quotes the Chachmei Provence that kom lebe derab mine doesn't a very interesting idea. Makes good sense, but it happens that many Rishonim don't agree. They hold halacha l'maaseh that it's just not true, that if you're smoking a cigar on Shabbos as he borrowed money from someone else, he took a potter from paying. You do apply karm labor to Rabbi Nachman. So I remember when we used to have a bochen in the yeshiva, the Chofetz Chaim son-in-law, Rabbi Mendel Zaks, used to be the bochen in the yeshiva. When he came from Europe, so all the rabbonim who came after the war from Europe needed a parnasa. So Dr. Belkin gave positions to everybody that he knew. So he got smicha from Rabbi Mendel Zaks when he learned in Rad in the yeshiva. Rabbi Mendel used to give shurim in Rad. So he was officially the bochen in the yeshiva for many, many, many years. And then he used to be the official substitute. Whenever a Rebbe wouldn't show up, whatever mesichta they were learning, Rabbi Mendel would just walk in and give a shir. He knew all of Shas. He could say a shir without preparing on any mesichta. So he, I remember when he was giving us a bechina on Sanhedrin, and he asked, what's the difference between Zelus HaChavolus and Hador HaSvalvas? Everybody said what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. That Zelus HaChavolus is the Torah imposes the chiyuv, and Hador HaSvalvas is his chayvus midas. He didn't think that that definition was correct. I don't know why. He didn't like that. He thought that Hador HaSvalvas just means Hador HaSvalvas. We have other distinctions also between his chayvus midas and a milva haksuva b'Torah. There's one opinion. There's a big machlokes in the Gemara and a machlokes in Rishonim how to paskin la'alocha, and the Shachin Choshe Mishpat paskins that it's a sveik edina. The Shachin Simen Lamites. There's a big machlokes where the shibura deraisa, shibura lav deraisa. If I owe you money, so that's hoyorogel Rabbi Natan Leima. The Rishonim quote Rabbi Natan. We don't have an entices, but the Rishonim quote Rabbi Natan is saying there are two shiburim. There's a shibra guf, if I owe you money. Then there's a shibra nechasim, that if you come to collect from me and I don't have any assets, you even have the ability to buy from the, to collect the karkos that I sold to the lekuchas. Or you can collect from the yorshim if I die. So you have a right to collect from the yorshim, but the yorshim never borrowed the money from you. The yorshim don't owe the money. So the answer is no. Since the lova, or since the orem hamazik, whatever, since I owed you this amount of money, so all of my nechasim are meshubit to you. So even if I sell the karka to the lekuchas, or if I die, and you want to go collect from the yorshim or from the lekuchas, so that's called shibin nechasim. You have the ability to collect. So the Gemara has a machlekes whether this din of shibin nechasim is that shibura derais or is that shibura lav derais. Shibur aguf is also machlekes. So we pask on that for sure is derais. Shibur aguf, for sure that's derais. So there's one opinion, one obscure opinion in the Gemara that even shibur aguf is not minat Torah, it's just mitzvah lefraya, priyas b'chayv mitzvah. It's just a religious mitzvah. So we don't follow that opinion. The Gemara says that's rejected. We paskin, no, shibur aguf is for sure. You owe the money to the other fellow. And shibur nechasim is a machlokes, what is the rais of the rabbanon? What's a big difference, halacha lemaisa? That's a very big question. L'may nach kemina halacha lemaisa, whether shibura derais or lav derais is such a long shach, zimulam test. And he comes to the conclusion that it's a sveikah adina because half of the Rishonim hold that shibura deraisa, half of the Rishonim hold shibura lav deraisa, so it's a sveikah adina. What's the whole sveikah adina? L'may nafkemina, whether deraisa derabbanon. Very rare nafkemina. If you look in the Shita Lano Delemi on Kiddushin on Daf Yud Gimel, he scraping from the bottom of the barrel, so he comes up with around six nafkeminas. Each one is very, very rare. It never comes up in a million years, all the six cases that he has. Very obscure nafkaminas. The Gemara has a little bit of nafkamina. Kiddush Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara has a little nafkamina, but basically it's hardly any nafkamina. So halacha lemaisa, there are three different opinions. How do you pasken on shibura deraisa, lav deraisa? One shita yes, and one shita no, one shita sometimes. So there's Tosis quotes to Rabbeinu Hanano that if it's a milva haksuva b'Torah, then shibura deraisa. It's a milva sheniksuva b'Torah, then a shibura lav deraisa. If it's a hischaivis midas, you accept it upon yourself. Then shibur nechasim is only the rabbanon. But if the Torah imposes the chiyuv, so the Torah imposes the chiyuv to the maximum. That's Rabbeinu Hananel's compromise, based on the steer and two gemaras, so the Tosafos and Kiddushin, Daf Yud Gimel, quotes Rabbeinu Hananel's compromise. So that is a difference between a chiyuv that the Torah imposes, as opposed to a chiyuv moment that the person accepts upon himself. The Rambam has another difference. Let's say katan shalovo. Katan, cherushat v'katan, la b'nei chiyuvin, it means the Torah never imposes any chiyuvim on a katan, and a cherushat v'katan, la b'nei chiyuvin. What if the katan is running a whole business and he borrowed $1,000 from somebody else? And the Rambam quotes from the Tshuvas Hagoyim, the katan shalova chayv l'shalem. The Rambam just adds on, l'kishe yagdil, that you can't be toveh him now, b'katnuso, you have to wait till he becomes bar mitzvah. But he is chayv l'shalem, a katan shehizik. You can't be tavei him even lachar sheyagdala. Cotton, his behemoth was mazik. You can't make him pay even lachar sheyagdol. That's a chiyuv that the Torah imposes. So the Torah doesn't impose any chiyuvim on a katan. Cherushat v'katan la b'nei chiyuvim ninu. But if it's a chiyuv mamon that the person accepts upon himself, so then the halacha says that it's, let's say the little kid goes into the store and he buys a candy, and the storekeeper says it costs a nickel. So he says, okay, I'll pay you some other time. So that's what my mother says. I used to do that. I used to go into the store, take a candy, and I said, I'll pay the guy later. I used to taste the candy, say, I don't like it, and I give it back. So I didn't want to pay. That's called a ganav. Okay. So I'm not allowed to do that. So according to the Rambam, let's say the little kid goes into the store. He's 10 years old. He knows what it means to buy and to sell, and it costs money. So he says he buys a candy, and he owes the guy a quarter or a dollar, whatever. So the Rambam says, a katan shalom v'chayv l'shalem. So the Shach says a katan shekana is also chayv. The kinyan is not chal. Al pi din, the katan, the kinyan, maybe the kinyan is not chal. Yeah, but the kid eats the candy. So even if the kinyan is not chal, but he agreed to pay the quarter for the candy that he ate. So if he agrees that his chayv is midas, is chal on a katan. Only if the Torah imposes a chiyuv, then there's another difference also between a milva ksuva b'Torah as opposed to milva shenik ksuva b'Torah. The Torah never imposes a chiyuv of pachas mishav pruta. Let's say I crash into your car and I scratch the car, and there's a hefsid moment. And what do you mean hefsid moment? If you were to sell it on the market, you would get less. Kamahu shavalimka bashuk. If you would sell it before the hezik, you'd get so much. And you sell it after the hezik, you get so much. So what if the differential between kamahu shavalimka before the hezik, kamahu shavalimka after the hezik? What if the differential is pachas mishava pruta? So the din is an autumn amazik, pachas mishava pruta, doesn't have to pay. Because that's a chiv that the Torah imposes. What if I go and I buy a candy, and they sell the candies 10 for a penny? So I say, I want one candy. So I owe them a tenth of a penny. I owe a halfpenny, whatever. A tenth of a penny. So you can be, schaivis midas, you can have on a pachas mishava pruta. The Torah, whenever it's a chiv moment that the Torah imposes, so the Torah never imposes chiyuv mamon on pachas mishava pruta. So it is clear that the Minchas Chinuch didn't invent from thin air this concept. Minchas Chinuch said that Arba Avos Nezikin and Yud Gimel Avos Nezikin, Chavta Alar Avos Nezikin. So the Gemara says why they called Avos. Originally, the word Avos in the Mishnah, Rashi writes Avos Kar Lahanech Dichsivim Behed Yibikro. Avos are those Shor Bor Marve Hever are explicit in the Chumash, and then told those. The Gemara says told the same Kayetzemem. The toldos are those forms of mazik which are so similar to the original mazik that it is a mamatzinu. If the Torah says boris chayiv savna sekena masoi shenich mishusram is also chayiv. Torah says eishes chayiv savna sekena masoi shenof leburuch mitzuya is also the same as eish. So it's chayiv mitam mamatzinu. It has the same din as the others, but it doesn't appear explicitly in the chumash. So the original usage of the term avos, Rashi writes, avos kor lahanach techsiv and behed yibikro. Those that are explicit in the chumash. But then by the time you get to the brisa and the gemara, that there are chof dalat avos and zik, and some of them are only with the rabbanon. Hametame v'hamedame v'hamanasach is only with the rabbanon. So why is it called avos? It can't be because it says in chumash. It's only with the rabbanon legamre. So the gemara says no kulam kavos l'shalem imeita. We're calling them avos as a lashon mushal. That they all pay meitav, but not everybody pays meitav. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch says, that the balchoy v'dina minator b'ziburis midirabon, they jacked it up to be beninis. Why is it dina minator b'ziburis? Because that's his chayvis midas. It says all his chayvis midas is minator b'ziburis. And they didn't jack them all up to beninis. He says the balchoy, they moved up to beninis. Kadesh lo ten adelis b'fnei lovin. But others, they didn't elevate. They didn't necessarily elevate to beninis. So the Minchas Chinuch distinguished between a Hischaivis Midas and a Chiyuv Mamon that the Torah imposes. He's not the first one to make the distinction. We have all the other distinctions. We have about whether Chad Nami Kosher, whether the Bezin is three or one, and Kamalai with the Rabbani according to the Meiri, and Shibuda Deraisa, Shibuda Lab Deraisa according to Rabbi Nachananel, and Pachas Mishav Pruto, and the Kotten Shalava, there are differences between them.
Midas. He doesn't have das.
Mm-hmm.
So why does he owe the money?
We call it a hischaivis midas, means an obligation that a person accepts upon himself. But obviously, see, from the Rambam's Tshuvas HaGoyim, you don't really need the das. It's chaivis mirtzono. We'll have to reword it. Okay. You usually call it his chayvus midas, as opposed to a milder aksuva bater. But it's, you're right, it's a little bit misnomer. It's not midas, katnal pidin is ala bardas. We mentioned the word Elohim, Loshen Chol, in Parshas Mishpatim, and Nikra Abayis Elhu Elohim, Asher Yashir and Elohim, Yishalem Shnayim Lareu. The Loshen Elohim, Loshen Chol, refers to Dayanim Smuchim. A person has to have smichi, ish mi pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, and the smichi can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Gemara said in the first Perek in Sanhedrin. Yes, but the Rambam raises a problem in the Pirush HaMishnayis, and in two different places, and he raises the issue in the Mishnah Torah. What's going to be when Mashiach is going to come? There's nobody alive today who has smich ish mi pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rabbanim went into Golas Bavel, some Bavel they didn't confer any smicha. Then in Eretz Yisrael they kept on making Gzeiras Hashmad against the Jews, and they stopped giving any smicha. No more smicha, so we won't have a Bez Nagadol. So how are we going to restore the smicha Lasi Lava? The Gemara has the Gemara says in Erevin, in the middle of Erevin, Perek Misho Tziyuhu. So the Gemara says Eliyahu Hanavi will come appear to the Bez Nagadol the day before Mashiach appears, to announce the coming of Mashiach. In the Shalech Lachem Miseli Hanavi, if Nei Bo Yom Hashem Agadol V'Hanar, the Bo Yom Hashem Agadol V'Hanar is referring to the Bias HaMashiach. So the Rambam says, what do you mean? Eliyahu Hanavi is going to appear in front of the Bez Nagadol. What Bez Nagadol? There is no Bez Nagadol. You don't have any smicha. Nobody has any smicha. So that's what motivated the Rambam to come up with an Einfall that maybe there are two dinim of smicha. Maybe there's one dinim of smicha, Yish Min Pi Yish Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one form of smicha. Then there's another form of smicha. If all of Chachmei HaTorah should be Eretz Yisrael gathered together and they decide to confer smicha on a person, so maybe you can initiate smicha. Yesh Meyayin, like that. So an Ein Fal. So that was the whole then the Rambam writes, V'sarach L'Yishashid B'dover. He's not sure. So that was the whole incident during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo. They didn't really call a conference of all of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. Most of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael lived in Tzfas. So they called the conference of all of the Rabbanim in Tzfas. And then they conferred smicha to Rabbi Yosef Karo, to another couple of people. Then the next generation, they conferred smicha to a couple of other people. So that was all based on this Rambam. They were all hoping and praying that Mashiach would come. They wanted to put together the Bez Nagadol. That's the reason why they lived in Tzfas, was because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Eser Goli is called so Shechina. It says in Tanakh, the Gemara documents it based on Sukkim and Tanakh, that at the time of the, right before the Churban Bayis Rishon, so the Shechina left in stages. The Shechina was originally Bein Shnei Akruvim, but then they hid the Orin in the basement. Yoshua Melech was going to use the Orin with the Luchas in the basement, so the Shechina wasn't there anymore on top of the Kruvim. So the Gemara quotes Psukim from Nevim and from Ksuvim. The Shechina went to another location. So it took in 10 stages till the Shechina went back to heaven. Similarly, parallel to the Eser Goli is Golso Shechina, there were Eser Goli is Golso Sanhedrin at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. That the Sanhedrin originally for hundreds of years used to meet in the Lishkas HaGozis in the Beis HaMikdosh, and then they went into Golos, they left 40 years before the Churban Abayis, Golos of Sanhedrin, self-imposed Golos, they decided to move out of the Lishkas HaGozes because they saw that there was too much lawlessness in Eretz Yisrael. There were a lot of murderers and they weren't able to control it. So they said, we have no right to sit in the Lishkas HaGozes if we're not being done, Din Nefoshes. So they moved out, and Al Pidin, the Gemara says, he can no longer be done, Din Nefoshes. The Gemara says, Aboyim Shana Kodim Shachar Vabayis Golso Sanhedrin. My Hilchasa, stam a historical statement. The Gemara says, no. My Hilchasa Shalodon Adin in the Foshes. From that time on, you're not allowed to be done Adin in the Foshes. And then the Gemara documents it stage by stage, the rest of the Eser Golias. So the last of the few Golias of the Sanhedrin was Shvaram, Husha, Tveria, Tzipori, all in the Galil of Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara concludes, and the Rambam quotes all of this. The Gemara concludes and says that Lasi Lava, when the Bez Nagadol will reconvene, they'll reconvene in the last location where they met the last time. Like every night, they go to sleep every night, they wake up in the morning, and they go to their office. So in the morning, they continue convening in the same location where they convened yesterday. So now there was a pause of 1,500 years, and they'll reconvene in the same location where they convened last time. It won't be the same people. No one is alive from them. So they'll reconvene. So that's why the Chachmei many of the Chachmei HaTorah lived in Tzfas. At that time, they were hoping that Moshiach would, Eliyahu Navi would appear in front of the Bez Nagodol, which is going to be convened somewhere in the Galil, in the last location where they were. And Eliyahu Navi will announce the coming of Moshiach. So they were all excited, the Mekubolim were all excited. They wanted to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Navi. In Yiddish, there's an expression to be Mekabel Pnei Moshiach Tzikeinu, to greet Moshiach. And in the Gemara, they never talk about being Mekabel Pnei Moshiach. Gemara talks about being Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Anavi, because Eliyahu Anavi is going to come before Moshiach. Gemara talks about making a big deal when Eliyahu Anavi comes, to make a big Kabbalah's Ponim for him. So that's the reason why they convened there in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, because that was the last location where the Bez Nagodol met, was somewhere in the Galil. So that was the issue at that time, yeah. They thought that they could, following the Rambam, they thought that they could start the Chiddush HaSmicha all over again. Rabbi Leib Ibn Chabib was never invited. He lived in Yerushalayim, so they only invited the Rabbanim from Tzfas. So he said that the Rambam only says if you gather together all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. He said, you never gather them together. So they told him that they had Roiv. So he said, Roiv is good if you would gather together all of the Rabbanim, and Roiv would agree to give Smicha. But you never even invited us. So how can you say Ruba Kukula? Let's say on Pesach night, you have to have the cup should be full. Then you drink Roiv Kais. So what do you have to have the cup full? Just fill up Roiv of the Kais. So no, you have to have Roiv of the whole Kais should be full. And you drink Rova Kais. So he says, you have to invite all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. And then if the Roiv agreed to confer smicha to someone, so according to the Rambam, maybe it'll be good smicha. Yeah, he wrote a whole sefer, Kuntras HaSmicha, why he didn't agree with the smichas that they conferred. He was not happy. There is a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, Elohim lo yisa kalil v'nasi b'yamcha lo sa'or. So there are two levels of interpretation on the pasuk, Elohim lo yisa kalil, Loshen Kodesh and Loshen Chol. It is the law. This pasuk is the law for Megadif as Hashem. You know, the Chumash has later on, one is Megadif as Hashem, it gets Mises Bezin. But where's the law? So the Gemara says, this is the law, Elakim Loise Kalil. Then the Gemara understands also that if anyone curses any Jew, one is in violation of a law, Loise Kalil Cherish. You're not even allowed to curse a deaf person who doesn't even hear what you're saying and he doesn't take it to heart. That's Loise Kalil Cherish. You're not allowed to curse anybody. If the individual whom you're cursing happens to be a rabbi who has smicha, so then the Gemara says there's an added law. Elikim loise kalel, elikim loshen chol. A dayan with smicha. So this one pasuk has two levels of interpretation. Elikim loise kalel loshen kodesh, megadif es Hashem, elikim loise kalel loshen chol, referring to a dayan hasamach. The Rambam counts it twice in the Minyan HaMitzvos. He counts this law twice. Which really poses a problem. The Rambam makes a big fuss about the fact in Shorish Tes and the Shoroshim, the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam has 14 guiding principles to determine what should be included in the Minyan HaMitzvos, what should not be included, and when should it count as one mitzvah, when should it count as many mitzvahs. So one of the principles the Rambam says is you have one pasuk, L'soch lo l'adam. And the Gemara has five levels of interpretation. Or you have a pasuk, loisechonem, and the Gemara has three levels of interpretation. And they're all accepted lahalacha, and you only count it as one lav. You don't count loisechonem as three lavim, because it has three interpretations. Or you don't count lasoch laladam as five lavim, because it includes five totally different things, unrelated things. So the Rambam says, if you only have one pasuk, you only count it once in the Minyan HaMitzvah. You can't count it five times. So he attacks the halachas gedoilois, who counts Loisinov, the love of Anashis Isha Zinso, the Sefer Allah's Dolus counts it three times because you have three different punishments. You have Abuala, Naira Hamarosa is Biskilo, and Abaskoin Shazinso is Bisrefo, and Anashis Isha, regular Anashis Isha Nesua Shazinso is Bechenek. So the halachas gedolos counts it as three different lavim, not to be mezana with a naira hamaros, not to be mezana with a bas koyin, and not to be mezana with an eshes ish. So the Rambam says, what did he do over here? It's one lav, not to be mezana with an eshes ish. There are three different onshim. Just because they're three different onshim doesn't mean that it should be counted as three different lavim. That's one lab. It's all shame echad, not to be mezana with an eshesish. So the Ramban, okay. So the Rambam has a whole, makes a big fuss about this. You should only, if you have one pasuk with many levels of interpretation, so you only count the one pasuk once in the Sefer HaMitzvah. Then the Rambam says also, if you have a kefla lab, if the pasuk repeats the exact same din many times, like it says, you shouldn't need any kinds of shrotzim. So Rashi and Tosfos and the Gaonim and the Ramban and all the Rishonim, they all learn not like the Rambam. They learn that if you eat a sheretz, you get malchus many times according to how many times the pasuk repeats the exact same lav. So whenever you eat any sheretz, you get right away several lavim because of the kefal alav. And the Rambam stands alone. The Rambam says, well, no, kefal alav only deserves to be counted once in the minyan on mitzvahs. And if it's repeated, it's only repeated for emphasis. And that's not sufficient cause to give twice malchus. And a kefal alav, you don't give twice malchus. So the Rambam, it's a little bit contradictory, but the Rambam has this all in one shorish. He says, even though there are many psukim, but all the psukim say the same thing, so a kefal alav, you only count it once in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in the Minyan HaMitzvah, you only give once malchus. And if you have one pasuk which has many themes in it, so also you only count it once. So the Ramban asks on the Rambam that he contradicted himself. The Ramban points out there are two mitzvahs, there are two lavim which the Rambam counts twice. Lois Kal al Cheresh, you're not allowed to curse any Jew, so that's one lav. And Mkal Chaver B'Shem is Loike, you get Malchus. And then the Rambam counts it a second time, Shalol Kal el Ovi V'Imo. There is no separate pasuk. There's a tepid onish, Mkal Lovi V'Imo is Chayv Skilo. There's a separate onish, but there's no separate lav. So the Rambam counts the exact same lav. Lois Kal Cheresh counts it twice. Once as Kol Mkal el Odom Yisrael, and once Mkal Lovi V'Imo. And then the same thing, there's a lav not to be choygel b'chaveira. Hamak is chaveira, zoiva b'lav. Lo yosef pen yosef, it says when a person deserves malchus, v'yipilo shofu de kol afana k'dei v'shosu de mispar, you're not allowed to give more malchus than the Bezdin Paskin. Bezdin Paskin should give him 9 times malchus, 12 times malchus, 15 times malchus, whatever. It has to be a number divisible by 3, so you can't give him any extra malchus. What if the shliach Bezdin gives an extra halkor, so he's over on the lav of lo yosef pen yosef. So that's a lav, not to be makor adam Yisrael. You're not allowed to harm anybody. So the Rambam takes that lav and he counts it twice, because a makor chavero is mishalem, and sometimes a chavah b'chavero pochus mishover pruta, hakor shem b'shover pruta is loike. And a makor avivimu is chayv misa, so the Rambam counts it twice in the minyan mitzvah. So the Ramban asked, the Rambam contradicting himself. He disagreed, he rejected the Shitas Halachas Gedolos, who counts Lysinov 3 times, because there are 3 different punishments, that Abol Nara Marosa is Biskilo, and Abol Eishesish is she's Bisrefa, he's not Bisrefa. The Eishesish, the Baskon Shazinsa is Bisrefa, the boil is not Bisrefa. And a regular Eishesish Shazinsa is Bechenek, so the Baha counts it as 3 Lamim, and the Rambam says it doesn't make any sense. So all of a sudden over here, the Rambam contradicts himself. And he has by these two mitzvahs, by Make Chavero and Make Avivimo, it's one lav, and he counts it twice in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. And by Mekalel Odomi Yisrael and Mekalel Avivimo, he takes one pasuk and he counts it twice in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. That's the Ramban's kasha in the Hasogas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So the Mishlam Melech has long hair oris on the Sefer HaMitzvah. He has a whole country's Derech Mitzvah Secho. Years ago, it used to be printed at the end of the Parashas Drachim. The Mishlam Melech has a collection of drashas that are very beautiful. Puts together themes from Agaritas and Gemaras and Midrashim. It's a beautiful style of drashas. So that's called Parashas Drachim. So years ago, they used to print at the end of the Parashas Drachim the whole country's Derech Mitzvah Secha. Now they print it at the end of all the regular editions of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Horus of the Mishlam Melech on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So the Mishlam Melech points out that not only is the Rambam difficult in regarding these two mitzvahs, that the Ramban pointed out there are an additional two mitzvahs where the Rambam contradicts himself. One is Elokim Lo Yisakalo, the one from today's Sedra, that the Rambam counts it twice. It's a lav for Megadifes Hashem, and he counts it also as a lav for Hamakalal Dayan, who if you curse somebody, has smicha. If you curse anybody, you get once malchus. If you curse a rabbi, has smicha, you get twice malchus. In addition to Lo Sekal Cheresh, he also violated Elokim Lo Sekal. And then And then there's a fourth place, also in today's Sedra. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara that one who's Mesis, if I try to coax someone else, try to convince someone else to worship Avodah Zarah, so if it's a Mesis HaSayochad, a Madiach HaSarabim, whatever the case happens to be, so there's an Oinish Misa. So the Gemara says, the Onshim say explicitly, where is there a lav in the Chumash that you're not allowed to be Mesis? You understand on our own, it's not a proper thing to do, but you have to have a violation of a loisessing. So the Gemara says, this pasuk, Shmosel Lamachem Laisaskir, Laisham Al Picho, this is the lav that refers to Mesis. So the Rambam counts it. Twice the Rambam says, this is the lav for Mesis, says Chaver, Lavad Avodah Zarah. And he says, this is also the lav for Hanishba B'Shem Avodah Zarah. One who swears in the name of an Avodah Zarah is in violation of this law. So the Mishnah Melech said, just like the Ramban asked the Kasha on the other two Rambams, he could have asked the Kasha on these two Rambams. Yeah, four. There are four mitzvahs which the Rambam, four psukim in the Chumash that the Rambam counts twice, which does make any sense. L'shitasa, that he had a whole attack against the Halachas Gedolos. This is exactly what the Halachas Gedolos did. So on the side of the Rambam, you have the Megillas Esther and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. One of the Gedolim wrote a whole defense of the Rambam from all of the Hasagas of the Ramban. So when he was about to print his Sefer, when he went to print, his mother passed away. So he wanted to memorialize his mother, so he called the Sefer Megillas Esther. The Sefer was written by man. It would be good if it was written by a woman also, but it happened that it was written by man. And he named it after his mother, who just passed away, Megillas Esther. So he comes to defend the Rambam from the two kashas that the Ramban asked, and the Mele, he's answering the additional two kashas that the Mishnah Melech asked as well. He quotes from the Tashbeitz, wrote a Sefer Zoyo Harakia, which is a minyan mitzvahs, and here and there he has his own minyan mitzvahs. Every Rishon, every Yachna has their own cheshbon, their own calculation, how to figure out which are the Taryag mitzvahs. The Vilna Gaon had a legamre different from everybody else. No similarity living or dead to anybody else's sheet. The Vilna Gaon lived at the same time that Dalton developed the theory of atoms. So he developed the atomic theory of mitzvahs. That just like you have nitrogen and oxygen and hydrogen and the cup and the air, what the water is H2O. And paper is this, and everything in the world consists of a combination of different atoms. So he says the same is regarding mitzvahs. He doesn't think that you're counting 613 obligations that you have to do something, you're not allowed to do something. He thinks that there are 613 concepts that are represented by the mitzvahs. You have this mitzvah of tzitzis maybe has 10 concepts, and the mitzvah of tefillin shel yad has 10 concepts, and there's going to be a little overlap, and the rest is not going to be overlapping. Then you have a mitzvah makkah, which represents 10 concepts, 7 concepts, 5 concepts. He says he thinks that the taryag mitzvahs mean the 613 concepts. So when earlier in his life he said he has no way to be able to figure out which are the 613 concepts, when he became an old man, so the children quote in the Hagdama to the Bir Agroa and Orachaim, I think, they quote, the father figured out which are the 613 concepts, and he's convinced that's what it means, the Taryag mitzvahs. No more 248 mitzvahs asay, 365 mitzvahs lois asay. I don't know, he threw that out in the garbage. What happened to that? That's also Midrash. I don't know. He says that the 613 atoms in the mitzvahs, and mitzvahs consist of a combination of many different concepts, and you have concepts shared in common. Okay. So Vilna Gaon was always different. Everything was different. So the Tashbeitz wrote a Sefer Zoyer HaRakia, which is his own Minyan HaMitzvahs, and he has comments, running comments here and there, on the Rambam, and the Ramban, this is Minyan HaMitzvahs. So the Zoyer HaRakia is quoted by the Megillas Esther. He doesn't always quote what he says. Once in a while he quotes when he likes it, he quotes it. So here he quotes, he thinks that he has the answer to the Rambam. He says, when does the Rambam disagree with the Halachas Gedolos that you cannot count the same pasuk twice in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, if it's loisinov, that all the three forms of Baal Eish HaSish all warrant an Oinish Misa? The only difference is by Nara HaMaras it's Gila, by Baskayin Shezin, so she gets Reifa, and by regular Nesua, the Oinish is Chenek. but all three are Mises Bezdin. So that's where the Rambam disagrees at Allah's Kedolos. He says it should be counted once. But over here you have four psukim that are really an androgynous. This is an anomaly. This can't exist. You have a lav in the pasuk that gives an oynish misa, and also included is a lav that has an oynish malchus. That's impossible. You have a klal that lav shenit in lasaris misa bezna in loikamolo. Whenever you have a lav, that's, let's say someone is mechal Shabbos and someone is avid avodah zarah, and his friends are warning him, don't do avodah zarah. They don't want to give him the death penalty, so they want to tone it down. So they say, don't do avodah zarah. We're going to bring you to bezna. We're going to give you malchus. He says, I don't care. Give me malchus. So the din is, even if they bring him to Bezdin, you can't give Malkus, because since that lav is a lav shenitan lasaras misas Bezdin, he's supposed to get oinish misa for chilul Shabbos for avodah zarah. So we cannot give Malkus for that. So he have a lav that has sometimes misa and sometimes Malkus. That's an impossibility. All the four lav that the Rambam counted twice, by make ovi ve'imoi is misa, and make chavera miyisrael sometimes gets Malkus. If you chayvel b'chavera, hakosh ein b'shover pruta. Normally gets Malkus. So how can it be that on the same lobby you sometimes get Mitzah, sometimes get Malkus? So over here, these two enter Parshas Mishpatim. So that's what the Rashbates writes in the Zohar Harakia. The Rambam understood it must be that they're two different lobbies. On one lob there's Mitzah, and on one lob there's Malkus. If it's one lob, how can it be that we have a tradition over here? The Gemara has a tradition that on these four, there's Malkus, so it must be that you count the pasuk twice, there's two lavim. It's an interesting idea. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva divides all of the averis into two categories. I think we mentioned last week. You have kalos and you have chamuros. The Rambam quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi a difference that the soir hamishtaleach is only mechaper if the people do tshuva, but ala kalos it's even mechaper b'li tshuva. Achidush, the Babli doesn't have that at all. Nothing, no similarity living or dead. This is the Yerushalmi, the Rambam's understanding of the Yerushalmi, that the Soira Mishtalech is Mechaper, even Belit Shuvah and Averis Kalos. So the Rambam has two categories. You have Kalos and you have Chamuras. So he says, what are Chamuras? Those Averis that get an Einish Mises Bezdin, creases on Mises Bezdin. So that's what the Zohar HaRikir is saying over here. You have a Lav, and it sometimes gets Malkus, and it sometimes gets Misa. So it's Kalos and Chamuras at the same time. How can it be? The answer is, it's two lavim. So the Rambam was forced into assuming that these four psukim count, each pasuk counts as two different lavim. Nechoshe Mishpat, Simen Ayin Beis, is the Simen, Simen Pei Zayin, Nechoshe Mishpat, is the Simen of Shvua Deraisa. That's all based on the psukim in today's sedra. Likar bal bayis elhu elohim. V'lokach bala v'lo yishalim. All the psukim of Shvua Deraisa. The Gemara has Mishnayis have already. Bizman ha-tanoim they had Shvuas derabbanim. Then the Gemara added on more Shvuas derabbanim. Bizman ha-amoraim they added on Shvuas Esses. That was added later. Bizman ha-mishnah there was no Shvuas Esses. Bizman ha-amoraim ha-achreim they added on Shvuas Esses. So the Gemara draws all of the distinctions between a Shvua Deraisa as opposed to a Shvua Sesis that's only the Rabbanon. The Gemara has four differences. On Chosh Mishpat they write there are Chamisha Chilukim. So how is the Chamisha if the Gemara has four? So they explain, Chamisha's Ches Mem Shin Hei is a Rosh Tevis of four dinim. Ches Mem, it's a cute, it's a Mechaber on Chosh Mishpat. Chamisha Chilukim, and it's really Arba. So he says, Chamisha is a Rashi Tevis of the four differences between a Shvua Ses. One is whether you have Nikitas Chayfetz or not. You only have Nikitas Chayfetz on Shvua Derais and Shvua HaMishnah. But on Shvua Ses, you don't have to hold on to a Sefer Torah when you swear. And one is whether Nachsina Lenichse, other than the Mepach Shvua, other differences in Halacha between a Shvua Derais and a Shvua. These are not all differences between Shvua Derais and Shvua Derabbanan. These are differences between Shvua Derais and Shvua Derabbanan on the one hand, and Shvua Sesis. Shvua Sesis is a lower level Shvua. Tosis points out that in a few places it was instituted Bizman Ho Amoroim Ho Achroinim. The Gemara has a Losh in the beginning of the second Perek in Kedushin. Vahashto, and now that Bizman is there, we administer a Shvua Sesis. Now the din is going to change. Vahashto means that it was developed in the later generations of the Amoroim. In the earlier generations, they didn't have such a din. You have the din in today's Sedra of Mefata. Oinus is in different place. You have Oinus and Mefata. So the Mefata, Oinus and Mefata, each one has to pay Chamishim Shekel Kesef. And the Pasuk says, Amoiti Shemer has to pay Meir Kesef. And Oinus and Mefata only pays Chamishim Shekel Kesef, 50 sloim. So the expression used by the Chumash is Kesef Yishkol Kimohar Habesulos, because he was Mefata the girl, or the other Pasuk, he was Ma'anis the girl. So if anybody's going to marry this girl, she's not going to get a ksuba. The practice was bizman matan Torah, then when a girl would get married for the first time, she would be a psula, so she would get a ksuba of chamishim shekel kesef. So because he was either ma'anis her or mefata her, so she's not going to get such a ksuba. So the Torah says, because he's responsible for being mafsid the girl, kesef yishkol kimor habsulas, let him pay. So that's what motivated, that's what started the whole machloikis ha-tanoim iksubis, where the ksuba deraisa, ksuba lav deraisa. So half of the tanoim held that ksuba deraisa. The Chumash has a, Chumash is assuming that a girl who gets married as a psula would have had a ksuba deraisa of chamishim shekel kesef, and because somebody was either ma'anis or mafata the girl, that's why she's not going to have this ksuba. So that's why he has to pay. So you see the ksuba deraisa. The other Tanoim understood, no, this was apparently a practice. It was a common practice, but the Torah never says you have to pay. The Torah says, Oinus HaMefata has to pay, Chamishim Shekel Kesef, corresponding to this minig that was the common, that was the widespread minig. But it doesn't necessarily say that the minig is binding Mikra. So that's what we paskin. Most of the Rishonim paskin, that Ksuba love their rice. In our ksubas, we say when a girl gets married for the first time, says the husband is obligating himself to give her the 200 zuz. There are 4 zuzim in every shekel. So if you have 50 shkolim, kesef yishkol, kamor apsulos, chamishim shekel kesef, is 200 zuz, the same thing. 50 shkolim is 200 zuz. So we write in the ksuba, the chazi lichem ideraisa, which you deserve menater. So that's the chapela. We paskin the ksuba deraisa. So most of the Rishonim paskin ksuba lav deraisa. The Rosh quotes on Daf Tes and Ksubas, Daf Yud and Ksubas. The Rosh quotes, one of the Bali Atais is Paskin, based on the Loshon HaKsuba, the Ksuba is the rice. But that's not the accepted opinion. We pass on the Ksuba is love their rice. and even though he gives her a shtar, the Acharonim assume Ksuba is love their rice. If Yol Ksuba is their rice, it's their rice even if he never gave her a shtar. If Yol Ksuba is love their rice, it's love their rice even if he gave her a shtar. But if he gives her a shtar and he's mishabin himself, he makes a kabbalah skin and he gives his wife a shtar and he says, I'm mishabin myself to give you the ksuba. So the achrayim assume, no, he's only mishabin himself. If you can accept upon yourself whatever his chayvus you want, that becomes menatara. So they say here, the husband didn't have in mind that he's accepting upon himself to make it into a din derais. He's accepting upon himself the takanas chachamim. Even if he wouldn't have accepted upon himself, he would have mechuyev to pay the ksuba midirabbanon. So he's just writing down in the document, in the ksuba that he gives her, that there is a hischaivus of ksuba that's only midirabbanon. Even though kasav law, even though he makes a kinyan and he gives a shtar, it doesn't elevate it to become a din derais. So that's a problem. Why do we use that lashon, the chazi lichem midirais? Best would be we should leave it out. Rabbi Ben Chaim is a Sfardi. So the Sfardim don't have that lashon, the chazi lichem midirais. So he has a campaign. He's trying to encourage all the Ashkenazi rabbis to touch up their ksuba. So for nothing, he'll give you a beautiful, fancy ksuba that has your Ashkenazi text that just leaves out the words, Chazi Lichi Mederaisa, just as the Chazi Lichi. Doesn't say the word Mederaisa. So he said, as many as I want, he'll give me free of charge. He's trying to fix up the whole world. The Rosh works on it. The Rosh and Daf Yud, the Ksubas works on it. Why did we write in the Ksubas the Chazi Lichem Ederais if it's not true? Only the Chazi Lichem Ederabbanon. So the Rosh has an Ein Fal that's quoted La Halacha. And has it. The Ramah quotes it La Halacha. That the Gemara says in the first Perek in Kiddushin, and in other places in Bava Kamma, the Gemara says that there were two monetary systems that were running concurrently. Bizman HaTanoim. There was Kesef Tzuri and there was Kesef Medina. And the Kesef Medina, let's say they had the same system. They had a penny and a nickel and a dime and a quarter and a half a dollar and a dollar. There were 5 pennies and a nickel and 2 nickels and a dime. Everything was the same, except that in this monetary system, the Kesef Tzuri system, every penny was 8 times the value of every penny in the Kesef Medina system. Every nickel was 8 times the value of every nickel in the other system. Every dime was 8 times as much. Every coin was 8 times the value of the other one. So whenever the halacha says you have to pay an amount of money, so which amount? Canadian dollars or American dollars? Which which monetary system they are. Each one is called, this is called the shekel, and this is called the zuz, and this is called a penny, and a nickel, and a dime, and a quarter. So whenever it says in the halacha, you have to pay an amount of money. So which monetary system are you talking about? The kesef tzuri system and the kesef medina system. So the Gemara has a klal called kesef hama batera kesef tzuri. When it says in the Chumash that you pay chamishim shekel kesef bayanos amefata, or you pay shloshim shalevet, if Yishor Amud kills an eved, you pay shloshim shalevet, or pigin aben is five shkolim. All the amounts of money that are mentioned in the Chumash, that's kesef tzuri. That's on the higher level. But kesef shel divrei, whenever it's a din midrabbanon that the rabbis invented, so the rabbis are using expressions, terminologies of kesef medina, not kesef tzuri. So that, when you have tanoim in the Mishnah, they're talking about how much money you have to pay by chavo b'chavera or whatever, so that you pay on the kesef medina system. So the shaila is that ksuba is lav deraisa. So do you pay chamishim shekel kesef for the ksuba, the 200 zuz? They pay kesef tzuri, kesef medina. So the Rosh explains, that's why we use aloshin nechazinich mideraisa. We don't mean to say that the girl is entitled to collect the ksuba min atur. No, ksuba is lav deraisa. The girl is entitled to collect midirabbanon as if it would have been a din deraisa. Because the whole institution of ksuba is based on the pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk in Chumash is talking about chamishim shekel kesef of kesef tzuri. Why? Because bizman batan tur, that was the common practice. So the Tanoim had a machlokes. Is that common practice of giving a chamishim shekel kesef, was that endorsed by the Torah? So that became a din deraisa also? No, it's only with the rabbanon. So we paskin, it's only with the rabbanon. But how much is it? It says in the Chumash. It's mentioned in the Chumash. It's chamishim shekel kesef of kesef tzuri. The deraisa dikemani. So that's what the Rosh says, that we use this inaccurate expression in our ksubas that Rabbi Ben Chaim is trying to clean up. We write the chazi lichem midiraisa. We mean to say chazi lichem midirabbanon, but it's the you're entitled to collect as if it would have been a din deraisa. So then, based on this, that's what we assume. Then, based on this, there's a further machlekes harishayim. What if a man marries a girl for the second time? The girl was previously married. She's got married a second time. So there the ksuba is only the rabbanon. So when she gets, and how much does she get? So the Mishnah says she gets 100 zuz. Instead of getting 200 zuz, which is 50 shkolim, she gets 100 zuz. So the question is, but that's purely only mid the rabbanon. Ksuba of an almana or a grusha is only mid the rabbanon. So when it says she gets 100 zuz, she gets 100 zuz kesef medina. Wait a minute, so it turns out to be 1/16 of what a ksubas besula is. Ksubas besula gets 200 zuz kesef tzuri. And an almana gets 100 zuz kesef medina. So it's not twice the amount, it's 16 times the amount. It never sounds like that in the Mishnayos. So that's two opinions in the Rishonim, and the Tosfos and Chayrus and the Rosh. The two opinions in the Rishonim may be just like the amount of the ksuba that the besula gets is 200 zuz kesef tzuri. So maybe the 100 zuz that the almana or the grusha gets, maybe her 100 zuz is also kesef tzuri. Maybe it's like it sounds from the Mishnah, it's half the amount of the ksuba's besula. Not that it's 1/16 the amount. It doesn't sound at all that it's 1/16 the amount. So that's a dispute in Ebenezer. Machloek is a Rishayim, and Shailen Shulchan Aruch had a pasuk. Many, many dinim in the parsha. V'noki v'tzarek al taharog. What does it mean? V'noki v'tzarek al taharog ki lo yatzdik rosha. So the Mishnah has a din in Sanhedrin, machziran l'schus ve'im machziran l'chayva. There are 10 chilukim we mentioned just the other day. There are 10 differences between dinim amos and dinim nefashos. So one difference is in the composition of the bezin, that a bezin of amos is enough with a bezin of 3, and a bezin for nefashos you need a bezin of 23. Then the other 9 differences between amos and nefashos are all based on inyani hatzolah. that you try to give the fellow a break in a case of dinin nefosh. Dinin mamonos, you can't give a fellow a break. If you give him a break, so you're cheating the other one. It's not fair. So you have to, no breaks, you just follow the ikar din. But in dinin nefosh, there's only one person being nidon, malchus and nefoshes, or golos, whatever. So then you have seven, you have these nine dinim. So one of the two of the nine dinim are machzim l'schus ve'im machzim l'chayva. Let's say the first time around the Bezdin Paskin that is potter from the Einash Misa, and then they realize they made a mistake and they want to judge the case all over again. So that's what's called in American law double jeopardy. That since it was Yotzimi Bezdin Zakai, so you're not allowed to reconvene the court and make him chayv. So this din only applies, this din of double jeopardy only applies by din in nefoshes. It doesn't apply by din in mamonos, and the Minchas Chinuch points out he doesn't think that it applies to Bnei Noach either. The special hatzalas of special dinim, the nine dinim of hatzala, itzilahu eda, only apply to Bnei Yisrael. So according to the Minchas Chinuch, the American Constitution is wrong on two accounts. They have the law of double jeopardy even in dinim mamonos. That's beferish against the Babli. That's beferish against the Gemara. And then the Minchas Chinuch says, even if it would have been limited only to dinim nefashis, it only applies to Bnei Yisrael. It doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. So that's this pasuk, v'noki v'tzadik al taharog. So noki means, let's say, yotzmi bezn chayiv. Bezn was done the case the first time around, and they thought that it's chayiv misa. They were about to administer the oinish misa, and then the bezn realizes, we think we may have made a mistake. We want to change our psak and declare that he's potter. So that's called noki. The man is mamish innocent. So noki al taharog, you're not allowed to kill an innocent man. So machzirin l'schus. You stop the music as they're marching to the Beis HaSkila, you tell them to stop, and the Bezin should reconvene. But then it says, V'noki v'tzadik. So tzadik, we usually think a tzadik is a holy tzadik, a holy pious man. Tzadik just means, Mishin it's tzadik bedino. If the Bezin declared that he's potter, even though later on they realized that it was an error, and he's really chayv misa, so that's the din, e'machzirin l'choyva. That's the double jeopardy din. That since it was Yotzimi Bezin Zakai the first time, Emach Zirin Lechayva. So the two, V'noki V'tzarek Al Tarog, is referring to two different people. Noki is the one who's actually innocent. It was Yotzimi Bezin Chayiv, and then Emach Zirin also Lischus. And Tzarek Al Tarog means it was Yotzimi Bezin Zakai, and they realized they made a mistake and they want to be Machzir him Lechayva. So that's Din Mishan, it's Tzarek Bedinoi. You don't call them back. But we're going to have murderers running around the place. The country is going to become lawless. And the Torah says, "Ki lo yatzdik rosha." Don't worry about it. The Rabban Shalom says, "I will take care of it. I'll see to it that if the man is really guilty, he will be killed." So the Rambam has a line in the Sefer HaMitzvos when he quotes this din. The Sefer HaMitzvos was originally written in Arabic, then it was translated into Hebrew. So Rav Chaim Heller was unhappy in Europe, he was unhappy with the standard translation, so he made a new translation. And now they have, they keep on reprinting Rav Chaim Heller's, and they print Rabbi Kapach's edition, which is a modern Hebrew. Same as Rav Chaim Heller corrected. There are errors poshut in the old translation, and there were parts that were left out poshut, they just never translated. But the Rabbi Kapach's translation is a little more modern Hebrew. So there's one line that's added on from the Arabic that wasn't there in the old editions, that the Rambam writes that it's better to have 100 murderers running around loose than to kill one person who's really innocent. So the Torah says we have to stretch and go out of our way. V'noki al tarog, v'tzadik al tarog, these laws of double jeopardy. Have to avoid by all means possibly killing an innocent person, even though we have to tip the scale in favor of the murderers. You're going to have murderers running around. So the Rebbeinu Shlom promises, Ki lo yatzdik rosha, don't worry about it. This year is the Shnas HaShemitah. So one of the several sources in the Chumash for the laws of Shemitah is today's Parsha. It says 6 years, Sheishanim Tizras Artzecha, Yosavto as Tuasa, the Hashvi is doing the Shnas HaShemitah, you're not allowed to do any Avodas HaKarka, and you're supposed to be Mafkir all of the Paris, not Yosavto as Tuasa, you have to leave everything Hefka. Vashvi is Tishmetena Unetashin. This was a famous machlokes in the 1500s between Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Mabit, who was on the Bezdin of Rabbi Yosef Karo. He was a Bar Plukta. Every so often he had a different opinion. So this was a famous dispute when a Jewish farmer has a farm in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Paris Gorosh Nasa Shemitah, so Rabbi Yosef Karo understood, Vashviz Tishmenteno, it's a mitzvah on the part of the farmer to declare the Paris as Hefker. Because man, he doesn't perform his mitzvah, the Paris will not become Hefker automatically on their own. You have to declare them as Hefker. And the Mabit understood otherwise. I think if you ask 100 yeshiva students, most of them will say like the Mabit, that the Paris become Hefker automatically. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. The accepted opinion is the way Rabbi Yosef Kara said, that the Paris do not become Hefker by themselves, Tishmetenu. It's a mitzvah on the part of the farmer that he should be Mafke the Paris. There happens to be another Machloikis, Rabbi Yosef Kara on the Mabit, regarding Paris Shvius, which is even more important than this Machloikis. The other Machloikis was regarding a reading, what the correct Girsa is in the Torah's Kohanim, on Parshas Behar. So Rabbi Yosef Karo read the Girsa in the Sifra as to state that Kedusha, there's such a concept as Kedusha's Perishvies. The fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael during Shnas HaShmitah have a special sanctity, and therefore there are special halachas attached to them. All the halachas are based on the single pasuk, Oysa Shabbos Oretz Lachem Liochlo. So liochlo means liochlo b'lo l'schori, you're not allowed to make big business with it. Liochlo b'lo l'hefsid, you're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage, even in a situation where there's no baltashchis. We were just talking the other day, even in the case where there's no baltashchis, you're not allowed to throw it out. Liochlo b'lo l'melugma, you're not allowed to use it to make a medication from this food. If it's normally eaten as a normal food, so you're not allowed to use it as a melugma. Liochlo b'lo l'menochas, you're not allowed to take perishvis and burn them on the mizbeach. That's not the Ochlo. The Ochlo is supposed to be that human being should eat it. So all the dinim of Kedusha's Perishvis are based on that one phrase, Vayis Shabbos Oretz Lachem Liochlo. So the Beis Yosef read the Girsa in the Torah's Kohanim on Parshas Behar that Kedusha's Perishvis only applies if the Peris grew besod Shal Yisrael, if it grew in a farm that belonged to a Jew. If it's Yivul Nochrim, if it grew on a farm that belongs to a non-Jew, then there's no din of Kedusha's Perishvis. And the Mabit thought that that was a faulty Girsa. And the correct reading in the Torah's Kohanim should be that there is Kedusha's Perishviz, even if it grows besod the Shal Nochri. Why should it affect the change? We pass in Ein Kinyan Anochi Beretzol, Havkir Miad Mitzat Liz Boris. The fact that the farm belongs to a non-Jew doesn't affect the change in the Kedusha's Oretz. So the Peris that grow besod the Shal Nochri will also have Kedusha's Perishviz. If you put together two and two of the Mabit, so the Paris that grow on the farm of a non-Jew automatically get Kedusha's Perishvias, and they automatically become Hefker also. So I can walk into the farm that belongs to the Arab and take the Paris. He may decide to shoot me. He may decide to kill me. What are you doing, stealing my Paris? According to the Mabit, if you put two and two together. He says, Paris that grow with Sadash al-Nachri have Kedusha's Perishvias. And whatever has Kedusha Perishvias becomes Hefker automatically. And neither opinion is generally accepted. We follow the Beis Yosef on both, really. You follow the Beis Yosef that it doesn't become Hefker automatically. You have to declare it as Hefker. And number two, the Paris that grew up with Sadu Shal Nochri for centuries, the tradition in Eretz Yisrael was that they followed the Beis Yosef. They made a cherem. No one is allowed to be machmer like the Mabit during their lifetime. They made a cherem. You're not permitted to be machmer like the Mabit. The Chazon Ish broke the monopoly on the Psak being like Rabbi Yosef Kara. He said that the Mabit was greater than the Beis Yosef. And whenever there's a Machlokes in Mabit, Beis Yosef, we should follow the Mabit. And he says they had no right to make the Cherem, and Moshe Loi Kedin. And the correct Girsa in the Torah's Kohanim is the way the Mabit said it. And there is Kedusha's Perishvis B'Shalnor. But all over Eretz Yisrael for many centuries, the minig was like the Beis Yosef. So now in Bnei Brak, in the areas around Bnei Brak, they follow the Chazon Ish, that the Noi Kedusha's Perishvis, Bivul Nochri, Peris that grew on a farm that belongs to a non-Jew. But the rest of Eretz Yisrael, they all follow the Beis Yosef. They assume that there's no Kedusha's Perishvis, Bivul Nochri. In the 1600s, there were a few Jewish farmers. They instituted the Heta Mechira. Heta Mechira works on the assumption that Shemitah B'Zman is only the Rabbanon. So So if you sell the land to a non-Jew, so there were those who were of the opinion that you're allowed to do Avodas HaKarka. If instead of myself doing that, those who disagree. But the original heter was, if you sell the farm to a non-Jew, so it's permissible to do Avodas HaKarka. So there were those who disagreed, but they still said, okay, but bottom line, you sold the field to a non-Jew. So there won't be any Kedushas Perishvi, is according to the Beis Yosef. According to the Chazanish, he feels you should pass on like the Mabit, that even there is Kedushas Perishvi's, even if it grew on the farm of a non-Jew. So then the Chazanish threw in another monkey wrench. He says that he thinks that it's prohibited to sell the land to a non-Jew. That's a pasuk lo sechonim l'sit lam chanoi b'karka. So he says if the Jewish farmers would sell directly to the non-Jew, so then the sale would be valid, even though they violated the din of lo sechonim. But they don't sell directly. They appoint a member of the rabbanut as a shliach to sell the farm on their behalf. So the Chazon Ish writes ein shaliach l'dvar aveira. So the whole sale is not valid. So that's quite a chiddush, al gavi chiddush. That for a long time it was assumed that there's no aveira of lois hachanim over here, because the Arabs are doing us a favor. We're not doing a favor to the Arabs by selling the field to them. They're doing us a favor to enable the Jewish farmers to run business as usual. So it was usually assumed that there's no lava of lois hachanim. So the Chazon Ish insists that there is an aveira. And then he assumes that since there's an Aveira, so the whole sale is not valid. Ein shalich l'dvar Aveira means the whole shlichus doesn't take effect. That's usually not the accepted opinion. That was a famous machlokes, the Neuri Behuda and Rabitza la Hamburger. If two opinions in Taisis and Bob Mitzia and Daf Yud, when let's say a Koyin wants to marry a Grusha, which he's not allowed to, so he sends a shliach to be Mekadosh the Grusha on his behalf. So we have a rule, ein shaliach l'dvar aveira. So that means that the kohen is not married to the grusha. If the kohen gives the grusha a ring in person, so we say kiddushin tov simchavi lavin. So she's married to the kohen and not allowed to live together. He has to give her a get. So if the kohen sends a shliach to give kesef kiddushin to the grusha, he say the whole kiddushin is not chal. That's one opinion of Tosfos. Ein shaliach l'dvar aveira. Kiddushin is not chal. The other opinion of Tosfos is no. Of course the kiddushin is chal. He has to give her a get. The Avera doesn't relate back to him. Ein shalich l'dvar aveira means the Avera aspect doesn't relate back to the Kohen. But the Kiddushin is Chal. So that was a machlekes la'alocha in the 1700s. The Nadi Yehuda held that the whole thing is not Chal. The story that happened was that the Nadi Yehuda's niece was married and her husband fell out of love. Originally he fell into love, then he fell out of love and he decided he's going to divorce her. And she didn't want to accept the get. So he was a dainty fellow. He didn't want to force the get. There's a cherem that Rabbeinu Gershom. He's not allowed to give a get bal korcha. So he didn't want to force the get into her hands. So he hired two Jewish gangsters, to serve as his shliach. And he gave the get to the two shlichim, to the two guys. And he said, you give her the get, whether she wants it or not. And if she doesn't want it, you beat her up till she accepts the get. You force the get into her hand. So that's... get musa means if we pressure the husband into giving a get. That term means you can't pressure the husband into it. Pressure the husband is not good. This is called the get bal korcho. The get is given, the husband gives the get against the wishes of the wife. So the first thing that the Yehuda assumes is that this is only a violation of an Issa de Rabbanan, Cheyrem de Rabbeinu Gershom, not to give a get bal korcho. Some are of the opinion that the Tshuvas Haran is quoted. Tshuvas Haran holds that it's an Issa de Raisa to give a get bal korcho. He married the girl. The better for worse, to honor, to love, to cherish the girl and everything. How do you give a get bal korcha? That's an isa deraisa. So he assumes, Nadi Yehuda is assuming that it's only an isa derabbanan. So he has a shaila, is there a din of ein shaliach l'dvar aveira by an isa derabbanan? So he quotes a Mishnah Melech. Mishnah Melech has a raya from the Gemara Bava Kama that ein shaliach l'dvar aveira even applies to an isa derabbanan. So then the Nadi Yehuda assumes ein shaliach l'dvar aveira means that it's not even chal. He's assuming like that thesis. If the Kohen sends a shliach to be mekadosh the grush on his behalf, so the kedushin is not chal, he doesn't even need a get. So here he says, since the husband appointed a shliach, these two Jewish gangsters, the two Jewish hoodlums, to give the get, bal korcha of the isha, so we say, ein shalich l'davar, the whole get is not chal, and they're still married. And the husband is still mechuyev to support his wife, and he's not allowed to marry his girlfriend. He's not allowed to marry the other girl. So this was the Nerei Behuda's tshuva. Very strange. The whole story says something missing here. The Nerei Behuda's tshuva was written 16 years after the whole get was given. So what did he wake up 16 years later? And he does mention in the tshuva that the girl is his niece. Should have said who it is. Instead of just saying the girl's name and so on. Very strange. So Rabbi Tzala Hamburger was a contemporary of his. So he disagreed with him. And he says the Iker is like the other opinion in Taisus. It does mean that the whole Kiddushin is not Chal. Over here it does mean the whole Get is not Chal. It means the Aver doesn't relate back. So here the Chazon Ish is assuming like the Nerei Behuda that if you sell the land to a Nochri, Al-Yidei Shaliach, so the whole sale is not valid. And Shaliach Advar Ver. So according to the Chazon Ish, it's not called Yivul Nochri. Yivul Nochri will mean if you have an Arab who owns a field, that's Yivul Nochri. But according to the Chazon Ish, this case is still Sod Shal Yisrael. He claims that the whole sale is not valid. I think now the Rabbanut, every 7 years, they introduce more Hidurim in the Hetem Mechira. So in the last Mahadur, I think 7 years ago, they already introduced that the farmer should not only appoint someone from the Rabbanut as a Shliach to act on their behalf, on their stead, and then to sell the field to the Goy, but that the farmer signs that I myself am selling directly to the Goy. So you avoid this taina of the Chazon Ish. Anyway, this is the shaila. Why does it say tishmetenu unetashta? Why a kefa loshen? We assume lo dibra tera kedushay many odom. So whenever it says hanik tanik nasin titein, whenever you have a kefa loshen, we darshin loshonis kfulim. That's a machlekes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds dibra tera kedushay many odom. We have loshonis kfulim in the chumash. Doesn't necessarily mean anything. We assume, like Rabbi Akiva, lo dibra terek l'dusha miryam. So why does it have a kefal lashon here? Vashvius tish metenu unetashto. So that's what the Talmud Yerushalmi says on Maseches Peah. The Rosh HaMishnah quotes it here. The Torah Tamim quotes it on this pasuk. The word unetashto is an allusion to the institution of hefker. That not only do you have the ability to be mafke the teres and shnas hashmita, you can be mafke anything that you want any year. How do you know that anybody has the ability to be mafkir? When the Rabban Shalom created the whole world, so everything was up for grabs, everything was hefker. So then people grabbed everything. So someone grabbed the North Pole, somebody grabbed the South Pole, someone grabbed America, someone grabbed France, England. Everybody grabbed everything, all the trees, everything. Everything belongs to somebody. Is it possible to revert the world back to its original pure state that everything was hefker? Maybe once you ruin the world, maybe once people grabbed everything, maybe it's impossible to revert back. So that's learned out from the pasuk. Unetashto. Not only can you be mafkir the perish viyas, you can even be mafkir all 7 years. Whenever you own property, you have the ability to be mafkir. This is the source for the institution of hefker. From the fact that the pasuk writes tishmeten unetashto, doesn't it sound like Rabbi Yosef Karo? Not like the Mabit. The Mabit claims that the perish viyas become hefker automatically. So how can you learn out from this pasuk on the tashto that something else becomes hefker automatically? Nothing becomes hefker automatically. You have the ability to be mafke whatever you want. So hashvius tishmetenu on the tashto means you have an obligation to be mafke the peres that grow during shnas hashmita. On the tashto, all 7 years, you have the ability to be mafke whatever you choose to be mafke. The simple reading of the drasha of the Yerushalmi sounds like the Beis Yosef. That the perish viyas don't become hefker automatically. There's rather a mitzvah to declare them as hefker. Then the Chumash has a few times. Parshas Mishpatim is one of the sources for the din of Aliyah LeRegel. Shalosh Pamim Hashana, Yivar Kol Zechurcha. We should visit the Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara in the first daf in Chagiga has a comment on Yeroe. It isn't the Kriya Ksiv, but still the Gemara says that there's a topic of Yeshem La Mikra, Yeshem La Masoros. We usually assume Yeshem La Mikra, Yeshem La Masoros means when there's a contradiction between the Kriya and the Ksiv. Do we paskan Halacha La Maisa like the Ksiv, like the Masoros, or like the Kriya, Yeshem La Mikra? So that's usually assumed to be the machlokes, but the Gemara has a discussion of Yeshem Limikra, Yeshem service over here on Yeroya Kol Zuchurcho. There's not a Kriyan Ksiv. It's just that it could have been read Yira Kol Zuchurcho. And then Tosis writes the rule is the only time there's a machlokes is whether Yeshem Amikli, Yeshem Lamasor is whether you follow the way it's written or the way it's pronounced, The only time there's a machlokes is if there's no way to blend the two in together. If you can figure out a way to paskin la halacha like the mikra and the masoros together, and then you paskin both. So an example is this pasuk that the Gemara gives. Shalosh pam shana yeroy kol zechorcha, we should appear in the presence of the Shechina, and yireh kol zechorcha es pnei ha'adon el pnei ha'adon Hashem, we should see the Shechina. So the Gemara says yireh yeroy kederach shabal yeroy es kach bal yeroy, just like the Rabbanu shel Olam is going to look at us with his two eyes, so too we should look at him with our two eyes. The Gemara says that the summa bein achas is potam me'ali al regel, potam in ariyah, because of the yireh yeroy. This idea, Yireh kol zechorcha, the pasuk said Yireh, we should appear. So the Gemara darshins Yireh. So that's what led. There was a Hungarian Talmid Chacham who moved there to Sir Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger. He was a son-in-law of Rabbi Hillel Kalamayer, Rabbi Hillel Lichtenstein, one of the tzaddikim from Hungary. So he came there to Israel, and he came up with this einfall that there's a mitzvah on Sholosh Regalim to look at the Azorah. Mitzvah to look at the Azara, because even though it says Yera'eh, but the Gemara darshins as if you read it both ways. Yera'eh, 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 Pnei Ha'adon Hashem. We should look. What is it a look? So he said, you look at the floor of the Azara. You look at the Azara. It's Kula Chiddush. Yeah, then he came up with the Chiddush on top of the Chiddush. He used to wear glasses, so he thought he has to take off the glasses. You should look without the glasses. The whole thing is Kula Chiddush. If there's such a mitzvah, it exists such a mitzvah to look at the Beis HaMikdash. You have the Gemara says on the last daf in Chagiga that when the Oil of Regalim used to come on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos to the Beis HaMikdash, he used to pick up the Kohanim would pick up the Shulchan and squeeze the Lechem upon him and show everybody the way it was fresh at the end of the week. And they would, this Man Bais Rishon, the Gemara records, they would move away the curtains in the separating between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the rest of the Beis HaMikdash and show the Oile Regalim, the Kruvim hugging each other, Ruchi Baschem Lefnei HaMakom. That didn't exist as Man Bais Sheni, the Kruvim were not there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They were only there by Bais Rishon, the Gemara says. So they had such a practice all the way back from the, all the way back from the days of the Bais Rishon, days of the Bais Sheni. So the Stechemed was a Sephardish Talmid Chacham who was born in Eretz Yisrael, I think, and then he had a Rabbanus in Russia. So he was very confused about the Minhagim. He wasn't familiar with the Minhagim that the Balabatim had. So he used to correspond with all the Rabbanim in the area about the different Minhagim, and then he wrote so much correspondence, he put out a whole Sefer Stechemed, a whole encyclopedia, alphabetically arranged, more or less, alphabetically arranged. So he has there a letter from Rabbi Shlomo. He has a lot of letters from Rabbanim that don't appear anywhere else. He has there a letter from Rabbi Shlomo Levilna on this topic. That where did they get this idea from that they should pick up the Shulchan and squeeze the Lechem upon him? And they should, by his Rishon period, they used to move away the curtain and show the people the Kruvim hugging each other. So he says they got it from this Drosha. This was an old Drosha, Yireh Yeroeh. That there's a mitzvah that we should not only Yeroeh Kol Zechorcha, we should appear in the presence of the Shechina, but we should see. Well, what are you going to see? How can you see the Shechina? The Shechina is invisible. God is invisible. He doesn't have a body. So that's what they understood, that you have to, we should see God in the Beis HaMikdash by seeing these miracles that are always occurring. So he used to show them the Kruvim hugging each other. That's the way they were manufactured. That's the way they were made. That wasn't a miracle. But to demonstrate Ruchi Baskam Lefnei HaMokam HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. And then they showed them the Lechem Aponim, that it didn't get stale. That was a miracle. So it wasn't Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger didn't invent the idea that you come to look. Rabbi Shlomo Levilna claims that that was the practice based on the Gemara. That was the practice in Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni, that they came to look to see things that represent the Rabbanu Shalom. The Kruvim represented the Rabbanu Shalom and so on. The last mission in Shkolim has a machlekes hatanaim. What do you do if a farmer is mafresh bikurim bizman hazeh? So the chachamim say the bikurim machal. It's nitvas bikdushas bikurim. And you can't do anything with it. Because the kohanim can only begin to eat the bikurim if you did hanocha on the floor in the Beis HaMikdash and you do the kriyas haparsha. And today we can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. So we can't. So if you're mafresh bikurim bizman hazeh, it's not a wise thing to do and you'll be stuck and there's no heter to eat it. And we paskin like Reb Shimon over there. Reb Shimon says that it's not chal at all, because the pasuk says, "Reishis b'kriyat maschel tavi beis Hashem avakecho Only bizman sheyesh beis hamigdash. Bizman shein beis hamigdash kam, the bikurim is not even chal. So the last Yerushalmi in Shkolim on that Mishnah quotes a braisa that not only does Rav Shimon disagree regarding bikurim that it's not chal bizman hazeh, he disagrees also regarding machzah shekel. What if someone is mafish machzah shekel bizman hazeh? So the Mishnah says it's not a wise thing to do. That's the last Mishnah in Shkolim. If you be mafish machzah shekel bizman hazeh, it'll become kodesh. And then you can't use it. We don't have a base on English. So it'll be also bano. So the Yerushalmi quotes a braisa that Reb Shimon disagrees, and he says just like by the bikurim he holds that it's not chal bizman hazeh bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim. So he disagrees and he holds that the machzah shekel is also not chal. And it was that Yerushalmi that was the basis of the minig that the Gaonim instituted to collect machzah shekel before Purim time. They had always think of new gimmicks, fundraising gimmicks to support the yeshivas. So the Gaonim and Eretz Yisrael came up with this thought, let's collect a zechel machzah shekel. So the Gaonim and Bavel were very upset. What do you mean? Some of the Balabatim will think that they're actually giving machzah shekel. If they're giving machzah shekel, it becomes hegdish, and you're not allowed to use it for supporting Torah. It has to go only for the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gaonim and Eretz Yisrael said, no, we have this tradition that's recorded in the last paragraph in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Mishnah Yishkolim, that the din is like Reb Shimon, both regarding the Bikurim as well as regarding the Machzah Shekel, that it's just not Chal Bizman Hazeh. So the Gaonim and Bavel said they never heard of that. They didn't have any Yerushalmi Yishkolim. They never heard of such a tradition. But they said him, Kabbalah in the Kabbalah. Okay, that's your tradition, so leave it like that. So that's the whole minik to collect Machzah Shekel, Purim time, Purim season, and we give it to Tzedakah, or we give it to yeshivas, whatever. We don't save it for the Beis HaMikdash. This is all based on this assumption that the din is that there is no chashash takolah, that the din of machzah shekel is not even chal bizman hazeh. Even if you mafrish it intending that it should be machzah shekel, it's not chal. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch says from the Maharil, you should be careful that the people shouldn't have in mind that this is machzah shekel. They should think that this is only zechel of machzah shekel. Sometimes they write it on the plates. Say it should be written in big letters that it's only a zecher, it's not the real McCoy, it's only a zecher to the Machzah Shekel. If someone really thinks that it's Machzah Shekel, then according to the Mishnayos, unless you have this tradition that the din is like Reb Shimon, according to the Mishnayos, it becomes nitvas b'kedushas hegdish, and you're not allowed to use it for secular purposes. Okay, I understand this Shabbos is going to be a Shabbos of the Torah Shebichzav. We're going to have Tanakh experts visiting the yeshiva. Okay, everyone is invited.